A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Hear this word, O children of Israel, that the Lord pronounces over you, over the whole family that I brought up from the land of Egypt. You alone have I favored, more than all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your crimes. Do two walk together unless they have agreed? Does a lion roar in the forest when it has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from its den? den. Unless it has seized something. Is a bird brought to the earth by a snare when there is no lure for it? Does a snare bring up from the ground without catching anything? If a trumpet sounds in the city, where will the people not be frightened? If evil befalls the city, has not the Lord caused it? Indeed, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion roars, who will not be afraid? The Lord God speaks, who will not prophesy? I brought upon you such upheaval as when the God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a brand plucked from the fire, yet you returned not to me, says the Lord. So now I will deal with you in my own way, O Israel. And since I will deal thus with you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lead me in your justice, Lord.
Lead me in your justice, Lord.
At dawn, I bring my plea expectantly before you. For you, O God, delight not in wickedness. No evil man remains with you. The arrogant may not stand in your sight. You hate evildoers. You destroy all who speak falsehood. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful, the Lord abhors.
Lead me in your justice, Lord.
But I, because of your abundant mercy, will enter your house. I will worship at your holy altar in the fear of you, O Lord.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteo.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
As Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a violent storm came up on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by waves. But he was asleep. They came and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. He said to them, why are you terrified, O you of little faith? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and said, what sort of man is this, whom even the winds and the sea obey?
Verbum Domini.
Back in 2008, I had a rare opportunity to go with my community to World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia. And I say rare because I was a postulant at the time in my first year of religious life. And postulants do not usually make such trips. And after the World Youth Day event, the friars had the opportunity to spend a few days in Cairns for some fraternal time. And one of the places we visited was a tropical rainforest where we had a guided tour. And as we were going through the rainforest in a somewhat open vehicle surrounded by guardrails, the tour guide explained all the wonderful things that one encounters in such a place, including things that are hazardous to humans. And in fact, it seemed that pretty much everything in the rainforest wanted to kill you, including the plants. And there is one tree that is called a stinging tree that has been described as causing the worst pain that you can imagine. The leaves are heart-shaped, which sounds nice at first, but they have serrated edges with dense hairs that contain a toxin. And if you happen to simply brush up against one of these leaves, the toxin penetrates the skin, and the tiny hairs fracture off into the skin. And this causes an immediate severe burning and stinging sensation that can last anywhere from several hours to several days. The hairs can remain in the skin for up to a year and continue to cause severe pain intermittently. And this does not even begin to describe the worst that can happen to you in the rainforest. And yet, even as we were being taken through this rainforest filled with all sorts of dangers and fearful things, I never once felt unsafe, so long as we were with our tour guide. If I had the misfortune of entering the rainforest alone, there's a slim chance that I could survive, but most likely I would not make it. There would be plenty of causes for fear and anxiety, but in the presence of a knowledgeable tour guide, I knew I could be safe. And if something unfortunate or unusual were to happen, the tour guide would know what to do to help the person in need. The tour guide had a certain mastery over the wildlife in the rainforest because of the extensive knowledge they had acquired through their study and their personal experience. And in today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is in a boat with his disciples as they travel on the sea. And while Jesus is asleep in the boat, a violent storm comes up on the sea. And what is interesting about the Greek word for storm is that it is commonly translated as earthquake in other places of Scripture, which is imagery that often carries an apocalyptic overtone. And whether the disciples experienced a violent storm or an earthquake, it certainly would have felt like the end of the world to them. The fact that the disciples are panicking during this event while Jesus continues to simply sleep should tell us everything we need to know about our Lord. If the disciples truly had faith in the Lord and understood his real identity, perhaps they would not have reacted in the same way. They would have known that Jesus would not only have the power to heal, to raise from the dead, to cast out demons, but that he would also have lordship over the winds and the sea, over all creation. Jesus is not only their tour guide, but the one through whom all things were made. If they truly understood that Jesus had such power over creation, they would have known that he would not allow any danger to harm them, even as he continued to sleep. As our Lord and his disciples prepared to set sail, we can safely assume that our Lord knew what was about to happen. He knew that they would undergo such a terrifying event, and yet he still allowed it to happen. He could have prevented the storm from ever occurring in the first place and spared his disciples from this fearful episode. Now, I will not pretend to be able to discern the mind of God, but some people might look at this account and think that Jesus had acted somewhat cruelly towards his disciples. You know, if he knew what was going to happen, why would he allow them to encounter such an intense stressful and terrifying situation when he could easily prevent it? And I will admit that it's impossible to answer this question, especially since we cannot fully know the mind of God. This question is along the same lines of another question, a common question that people have: why does God permit evil to occur and does not prevent it? There are so many horrible things that happen on a regular basis around the world that it is natural to ask these questions. And for people without faith, there is no truly satisfying answer to these questions. No matter what answer we might give, it will still seem like the Lord is being cruel towards his creation by allowing it to undergo certain traumatizing events. But for those who have faith, the Catechism attempts to give an answer. While it might not be fully satisfying, it at least makes sense from a faith perspective. After all, having faith in the Lord necessarily entails placing our trust, our hope in him. Faith and hope as theological virtues are based on the certainty of Christ's promises. And according to our faith and hope in the Lord, we believe that God does not allow any evil to take place without manifesting his divine power over that evil. The Catechism quotes St. Augustine as saying, "For Almighty God, because he is supremely good, would never allow any evil whatsoever to exist in his works if he were not so all-powerful and good as to cause good to emerge from evil itself." Furthermore, the Catechism teaches in paragraph 312, "In time we can discover that God in his almighty providence can bring a good from the consequences of an evil, even a moral evil, caused by his creatures." And the paragraph then references the situation of Joseph in the Old Testament, who was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. Joseph says to his brothers, when he finally sees them again, "It was not you who sent me here, but God. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive." At this point, it's important to note that, of course, moral evil is never justified, even if it is true that God can bring good out of it. A good end never justifies an evil means. God does not directly will the evil should take place, but when evil does occur, he does not allow it to have the last word. And that's the important point. He demonstrates his magnificent almighty power and glory by bringing good even out of those things that are meant for evil. And when our Lord goes into the boat, he allows his disciples to encounter this terrifying storm, not so that he might torment them or torture them or play some sort of divine prank on them, but to strengthen them, to strengthen their faith and their hope in him. If the disciples had not undergone such a fearful situation, they would not have learned to properly trust in the Lord in all situations and circumstances. They would not have seen the Lord manifest his power over the winds and the sea. The Lord teaches them that they have no reason to fear so long as he is with them. And this is an important lesson that will remain with them as they later undergo trials and persecutions, as they carry out their mission of evangelization. They will likely remember this event and the fear that they experienced, so that when they inevitably encounter this fear again, it will not affect them in the same way. They will respond with faith and not with fear. Jesus knows our weak human nature, and that fear is a natural response to certain distressing situations. He reminds us today that we should not allow this fear to override our faith or our hope in the Lord. We can have full confidence that Jesus knows and sees everything that is happening everywhere, and that his Spirit is guiding and continues to guide everything towards its ultimate end. There are a lot of things that we do not understand, but we can have firm trust in the Lord and in his promises, especially his promise to be with his church until the end of the age. We are simply called to remain faithful to his word and strive to be the Lord's presence in the world, to demonstrate his grace and his love to others through our own practice of charity. And since the Christian has placed his trust in the Lord, then there is no reason to give in to fear. Christians do not spread fear, anger, and hatred, but rather faith, hope, love, and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit.